it's good to see everyone out. It's always wonderful to be able to do this. And again, thankful that we have the ability to do this. We have the technology to be able to do this. With all that's been going on, it's easy to get caught up and not knowing what to do, but we've been able to find a way, and it's just simply good to be able to be here and to see everybody. I hope that everybody's doing well, and hope that we're all doing our best to continue to remain faithful to God in all things. What I want to talk about this morning is talking about aiming high. As the title of the lesson for today is Aiming High. Now, I'll probably get a bunch of you laughing, but I can't hear you laugh until your window's up, so it's all good. But aiming high, we sometimes set a bunch of goals in our life. We set what we think and want to do, where we want to be. And especially when we're younger, we set goals on what we want to be when we grow up, and we try to figure out things for our life. I like to joke around with Casey quite often, especially with everything been going on, and we've been trying to make sure that we can do this on Facebook. We can do this trying to make sure, see if I can't get it on for YouTube for people who don't like Facebook. Been trying to figure out our website a little more. And in doing all that, I keep teasing Casey that, you know, with all this being out there, we're going to become famous. You know, and joking around as before we started our worship, even joking around with everybody here and Ron pitching in that I should have come in and you guys announced the host and different things that just kind of joke around about. And even when I first got in preaching, I remember talking to Casey again, joking around. I was moving to Tennessee, my first full-time work there. And I said, yep, I'm going to start with this small town. When we convert the small town, then we'll convert the whole state. Then we'll go for America. And it's just going to spread. There were some high goals. High, aiming high. Now, I know it's not realistic to aim that high, and that's not something that's going to happen. But we need to understand that as Christians, we do have some high goals that we should be aiming for. And that's what I want to talk about, and I hope that you open up your Bibles and follow along as we search the Scriptures and see what it has to say. Now, I know some realistic goals that we might have is by looking at, you know, just regular things. If you're still in school or going through college, you got that goal of graduating. Maybe graduating with a certain 3.0 or higher. Certainly wasn't my goal when I was in high school, once again. But you may be having high goals of marriage. And setting goals to have kids, and setting goals to have a great job, to get a certain amount of pay wherever you end up going in your life. And we have so many different goals that we set. Some of them are high, some of them are not. Either way, sometimes when we reach those small goals, we're very excited and happy to accomplish them. And these are regular goals that we all end up setting sometime in point, usually. What are your goals truly, and goals that we should be setting as Christians? Have you sat down and asked yourself that? Some of the goals we have, we've set without realizing that it is a goal, that it is where your heart and treasure really desire to be. And when you sit down and think about it, though, some of the things that we try to do and try to go for as a Christian can be really extremely high goals. In consideration that heaven is the highest goal, if you really think about it. We live a life upon this world that God has created. We live here in a beautiful world that God has created, with a blessed life that He's given to you, to me, to each and every one of us. But to get to heaven, that would be the ultimate goal. What would come before that? You sit there and think about a house. You can think about a certain car. I'll tell you what, we gathered together and saw Ron driving David's Corvette the other day, and the boys loved it. The boys saw him go a little fast. But it was fun to watch it and hear the car rev up. And, you know, you can see the imagine. And people start thinking about what kind of car they'd love to have. It doesn't beat heaven. Heaven should be at the top of our list. You turn along with me and open your Bibles and see. In John chapter 14 and verse 1. In John chapter 14. John 14 and verse 1. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Here Jesus saying, "I go to prepare a room for you." I'll tell you what, there's not a greater goal than that. Once again, we can sit here and think about all the different things we want to do to the house, and with everything going on, Casey's always talking about what we need to update and what we can afford and looking at what we can do there. You know, I could accomplish all her goals in that house, and it won't compare to what heaven's going to be like. To having a home that God prepared for you, that He's prepared for me. Going forth and having a home in heaven. Nothing greater than that. You turn to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 21. And reading there and in verse 4. Here it says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Again, an idea of what heaven might be like. That there will be no tears, no worries, no sorrows, no death. And how wonderful and how great that will be. Once again, making it plain and clear that heaven is the highest goal that we can set. Is the treasure that we should all strive to gain. Is to have a home in heaven. It will be so wonderful. It will be so wonderful. In Revelation 21, and read down in verse 22. Revelation 21 and verse 22 says, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nation of those who are saved shall walk in the light, and the kings in the earth bring glory and honor into it." Guys, we're going to heaven to be with our Father, be with our Creator. Be with the Savior who died for you so that your sins could be forgiven. If that's not something we wake up every morning and say, "What can I do to assure that I have a home in heaven today?" We need to start doing that. Going to bed, asking and thinking about what we could have done. If there's anything that we need to repent of, going to God in prayer if we know those things that we have, may have sinned and fallen short that we need forgiveness for. To make sure that we have a home in heaven in case we don't wake up in the morning. That's the goal. That's where we should be aiming. That should be the top of our mark. And when anything else gets in our way, that we put it aside. We put those things aside. Going along with this goal, with this mark that we're aiming for, another goal we'd be aiming for is to be like Christ. If you wear the title and you wear the name Christian, you wear the name Christ, follower of Christ. If you feel that you are a disciple of the Lord, that means you've taken His teachings and made them your own, and you're willing to teach them to others, and that you're willing to follow our Lord and Savior. That if you choose to be baptized, if you have been baptized, that you have put on Christ, and that He should dwell inside of you, in your hearts, in your minds, as we live our lives from day to day. And again, that's a high mark to be like Christ. That's what we should be doing, though. If you look along with me in Philippians, Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 21, it says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." To live is Christ. Each day we wake up, it's another day to serve our Lord and Savior. Another day to go about His work, to further His kingdom. Another day to be thankful for what He's done for us. And we should be doing all we can to follow Him. We read it during the Lord's Supper there in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, saying, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps." Following the Lord. Again, looking at what we're reading here, and you read further as we did in the Lord's Supper, as it brings out, He committed no sin. Now, we all know that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why He had to die for us. But the goal, the mark, is to continue faithful to the Lord and put that sin behind you. The mark is to follow Christ and to put on kindness and put on His love and to be forgiving, to be merciful, to walk faithfully to our Father. And when we need help, we go to Him in prayer. We're following our Lord and Savior. As we read during the Lord's Supper, looking at those other verses, when He was beat, He did not threaten. When He was threatened, He did not revile. He was faithful in all things. Once again, guys, that's a high. You know, we talk about filling somebody else's shoes, stepping up and taking their place. There were some big shoes to fill in. But it's a mark that we should all be aiming for. We should all be striving to follow in the footsteps of Christ. Now understand, I know that our God knows who we are. Our Lord and Savior knows. That's why He lived His life upon this earth. And so that He could understand, not only just make the sacrifice for our sins, but He also became our mediator and our judge, because He understands what we all go through. Because He also lived upon this earth. He also went through the temptations. And He's there for us, ready to forgive if you're willing to repent and ask for forgiveness. But we should always be striving to follow in His footsteps, to be like Christ as much as possible, as much as we can be. You know, some of those goals that we set out earlier, I want to add to them on the more realistic goals that we kind of threw out there. Goals that go along with those, but we should be successful in these things. And not success by the standards of the world, by looking at how pricey a house or a car is, but success in that they are good and faithful to the Lord in all that we do. And if we talk about our marriage, we can turn to Ephesians in chapter 5. We turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and we read about what a marriage is supposed to be like. Read about how a man is supposed to be treating his wife and how a wife is to be treating her husband. We see there, this will define whether or not you have a successful marriage. As it goes forth, and just read a couple of these verses, in verse 22 says, "Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her." Again, you want to make a high mark, you want to be successful in something, you want to get something that you can be proud of. If you're looking at getting married, you're looking at trying to find that right person, or if you are married, here's the standard. Here's the mark. Here's the aim. Do we reach these goals? Husbands, do we love our wives as Christ has loved the church? Again, following in the footsteps of Christ. a high standard, a high mark to aim for. Wives, submitting to your husbands, respecting your husbands as the church to the Lord. Again, high standards. As Christians, these are the marks, the aim that we should have. You go to Ephesians chapter 4 or chapter 6, you get out of this chapter 5, and you get down and talk about your parents to the children, children to the parents. In verse 1 it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And father, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." We have a mark set to teach our children to be respectful, to be obedient, and to train them in the way of the Lord. In Proverbs 13 and verse 24, there it tells us that he who does not discipline, chasten, to spank their kids, does not love them. But one who loves them will rebuke their child. Again, standards and marks that God has set for us in our daily lives that we live upon this earth, that we should be aiming for every single day to make sure that our children are raised in the right manner and that they know what to do when they come to that age of knowledge and understanding of what God has done for us and understanding what is right and what is wrong, and willing to open up their Bibles and study the Scriptures to make sure that they are faithful to God. We got some high marks out there. Some standards that have already been set that we should all be aiming for. We can go forth and talk about simply everything we do in our lives. Whether it's your job, whether it's with your family, we should be doing the best we can. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, if you turn along with me there. And it says, "In whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality." Whatever we do, do it wholeheartedly unto the Lord. Not just because you're looking for that promotion. Not just because you don't want to get grounded from mom and dad. Not just because you don't want to get in a fight with your wife or your husband. We do it because we want to do the best to our Lord and Savior, the best for our Father up in heaven. And in doing those things, we learn how to apply the love that He has for us to one another. And we do everything wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. We should have a goal to be one of the few. You know, the Marines have that saying, the few, the proud. How about the Christians? Faithful followers of Christ. Once again, we can see time and again throughout the Scriptures that there are only few who will find their way to heaven. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Matthew 7 verse 13, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." That is the mark, is to be one of those few. That you're looking for the kingdom of heaven and that you make it there because you live a faithful life to the Lord, because you open up your Bibles daily, searching the Scriptures to make sure that you understand the truth, that you are continuously following faithfully so that you can add to your faith. Luke has an account similar to this in Luke chapter 13 and verse 23. Luke 13 and verse 23 It says, then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Again, there are a lot out there who are going to try to, but once again, it says they won't make it. There are few who will enter in. Again, just how scary this could be is turning back to 1 Peter, going to 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, and you read in verse 20, it says, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight souls, were saved through water. I don't know how many few is for each generation, how many few is for those who are members here, how many few is for this area. But we read here, and we look back at the example of Noah and the ark, and the flood that had came upon, and all that lived in the world at that time, and only eight people were saved. Only eight people. That's a small number, guys. Therefore, we should be doing everything in our power to make sure our election is sure. Praying to God, searching the scriptures daily to make sure that we have that home in heaven, to make sure that we are walking faithfully in the footsteps of Christ, to make sure that in everything we do it because God knows what you're doing. And we're doing it because we want to do all things as if we are serving Him in what we choose to do upon this earth. We have some high marks, high standards that have been set. But understand, as we read these things, we might sit there and say, that's really hard. As we sit back and think about it, who can make it? Who can be saved? And again, we have to look to the Lord and understand, as He brings out, no one can on their own. But with Christ, with our Father up in heaven, we can get to heaven. So therefore, we extend the Lord's invitation to anybody who needs the prayers of the congregation, to anybody who desires to obey the gospel, to make sure that their election is sure, to make sure that they have a home in heaven, then we encourage you to let it be known. We'll help you and aid you in getting you baptized so that God can wash away your sins. If you need the prayers of the congregation, we ask again that you reach out so that we can let that be known and so we can be praying for you as we sing the song.